6:38, we're back from closed session. Mr. Anderson?
There's nothing to report out of closed session, Mr. President, and I'm available to depart and save you money if that's what the board would like.
Do you need help to your car?
See you later, bye-bye.
I can make it. Watch out for this one, though. 3 minutes maximum.
Got my timer ready.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
She'll do it in 3.2 seconds.
Next item on the agenda is old business discussion action, user fee study, district incident fees and charges, adoption of the suggested fee adjustment. Would you like to comment on that, Ms. Cindy, or?
Not really. I feel like we've talked about this a lot. Unless you'd like to ask me something specific, I'll try and remember what we had discussed.
Well, what I'm going to do is I want to, nobody on the board has an issue, that we have a public comment concerning that item from Mrs. Mariner, which is actually, because it's a board item, you know, it's an agenda item. I would like to let her say her piece before we deal with this, and I'm going to just let it open to the rest of the public if they want to say anything or ask a question so that we can inform them. Does anybody have any objections to that?
Quick question, just to make sure it's, the user fee study is not the rate study fee.
Right, no, this has to do with the cost of charges that are done, i.e. if there is a service call after hours, and fees to that nature, cost recovery evaluations, sources. In other words, if we send a gentleman out after hours and he has to go do a bunch of work, by law we can only charge so much, and by union contract we can only do so much. And it's this pursuant, there's a sample copy if anybody likes to look at it. If it's not over there, there's some more copies right here. Go ahead, Mrs. Mariner. You have, let me get my clock out here. Please proceed.
Okay. So I understand that this rate study is not supposed to be looking at base rate, correct?
Right. This is only
the fee study.
Just the fee study.
Right.
Okay. Well, I would like to open up the dialogue to look at the rate study, and I'm going to explain to you why, and use this towards doing an entire overview of the rate study. Because right now, as we stand, we're paying $64.85. Next year, it's going to be $68.10. The average income per resident here is between $700 to $800 per month. In calculating that, Cabazon Water District is charging between 8 to 9% of that person's base rate just for that, not even including water. So 8 to 9% of a average person in Cabazon's income is going just to Cabazon Water District. That is not the person's rent. That is not their utilities, their groceries, their car insurance, their cell phone bills. So 8 to 9% we're paying base rate for an income of $700 to $800. Now, when I was going through this, I noticed that I went through your guys' finances. I came down here last week and I went through your guys' financial reports. In the financial year 1920, your guys' electric bills are $143,000 for your budgeted for.
In the year 1920?
1920. Your budget?
We weren't around in 1920.
2019, 2020.
Okay.
Okay, we're not being sarcastic, you know what I meant.
No, okay. I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay. So in 1920, the fiscal year 1920,
okay,
your electric bills are $143,000. Why in the frickin' world are we not looking at getting solar? Now there's the PSPS concern. So if we're having a PSPS, which is a power shutoff, okay, when they shut our water off and we're worried about a generator and this and that, do we realize that you can do a battery backup that supplies power to a battery backup, and we don't need backup generators, and we can still continue business as usual? So that would be one thing I would heavily be looking at as a board, The other thing is too, is you've got $533,848 in loans. Those, the lowest interest rate I saw was at 2.49%. So it would behoove us to combine those two loans. One is supposed to mature in 2023 and the other one's supposed to mature in 2027. It would behoove us to look and see if there is somebody that could potentially pick up those two loans, combine them at a lower interest rate. That would save money. Okay, training and travel. This one kind of unnerves me. We're wanting our residents to pay $64.85 for a base water rate, but we're budgeted for $26,400 for training and travel. Okay, I understand our employees need to go, and I understand that they need to be trained, right? Because that's what we want. We want the best. However, feel that that should be limited. If we're going to be sending training and travel and we need to go to Sacramento to lobby, which I am totally not opposed of, I agree 110%. At the end of the day, it needs to be one or two extremely knowledgeable people, not the entire board. Tahoe, that should be one or two or just staff alone for right now, because if we're in this big financial crisis, why are we 110% having the public give everything and nobody else give anything? So my theory is everybody's going to have to need to give a little bit in order to make us all feel a little bit better and that it's not just being put on the backs of the residents. Okay, my other one. Hold on. No, I have longer than three.
Yeah. No, she's got
an agenda item.
No.
I give her my three.
No. Wait a minute, just a minute.
Okay, well,
wait a minute, just a minute, please.
Yes.
You said that it was on the agenda item, but you're talking about items that are not on the agenda.
I'm talking about imposing your rate study and making this all inclusive.
Right, but that's not, you said you wanted to deal with the rate of the agenda item. Agenda item one is dealing with fees, not rates. Rate study is a whole different issue.
Rate study is the reform on new business.
Yes.
This one's the fee study.
Right, okay. This is a different, so you have to be.
We'll take my comments and put them on number four.
Okay, not a problem. But you understand where I'm coming from.
Yes.
I want to be, so I, if he's saying 3 minutes and you're saying one thing, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
And that is fine. However, if you want this community to give, then we need to give.
Okay.
Everybody needs to give. And if that means, I have seen entire boards when there was a huge financial burden being put on a situation, I've seen entire boards give up their entire year's dues to offset the costs. So that, is an option. Also, too, check signing. To come in and charge $100 for one or two checks, that's not fair. When I was on this board, I would walk in here, and if I had one or two checks in here, I'd just walk in and sign them. I didn't go, I need my $100. So I know how it works. I've been on this board. I'm completely knowledgeable when it comes to water and finances. I've been doing this a while. And I would really, really think that us as a community, we need to really take a look at it and a solid look at it. So that's where I stand. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Take that under
advisement. I didn't take 30 minutes, Robert. I might get on your nerves, but I didn't take 30 minutes.
You didn't get on my nerves at all.
3 minutes is what you're out of.
Are we... Is it open discussion? Can we address Ms. Mary?
No, because it was a comment. We just take it under advisement because it was her comment actually was on item number four.
Can we bring that up when we get to item number four?
No, because this was a public comment. It wasn't public discussion as far as of that particular item, as far as my understanding goes. Give me a thought. Give me a moment to think about it, okay? I understand where
Should
you're coming from.
Steve here, yeah.
Okay, yes?
I'd like to comment, since we have the public here, Tahoe trip. We haven't taken a Tahoe trip for 5 years. Travel and training, just this year.
You didn't take a trip in 5 years?
Yeah, Calvin, that's part of what Robert said.
Yeah, you're responding to her public comment.
If you want to...
I understand, but we can do is, we can provide you with information about who went where during what training in the past, what you quoted as fiscal year 1920, okay? Mm-hmm. We can do that during the normal business hours, okay? Or after the meeting if they want to stay to give you that information, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So we got to keep everything online the way it's supposed to be. I'm not trying to stop anybody from saying anything, okay?
I'll just prevent rumors.
Right. No. It's all right. It's okay.
Well intentioned.
No.
The rate setting. That's why we want to readdress that.
Right. Okay. So now, let's get back to what the item is that we were first started after we had the public comment from Mrs. Merritt. This has been gone over for 4 months now and hashed out and adjusted based on what state law states that we can recover for our expenses spent if we go out and do something, when we go out. There are certain aspects of it that are legally limited as to what can be done. And those, any numbers that we had that violated those legal limits were adjusted and addressed accordingly. And on average, the percentage of change, if I remember right, wasn't that great a percentage, was it?
I don't recall what it was, but I think that the fees had not been adjusted in a very, very long time. Because we had not adjusted them, we were literally putting ourselves in a position where certain activities, which might have been plan checks or reconnections during off hours, we were actually losing money every time we went out and did it, as opposed to even recovering our costs. So the idea isn't to go out and profit on any of these activities the way they do this study. The idea is to just simply recover our costs to do these activities that are outside the normal rates. So these costs don't have anything to do with normal rates. This is when you do something unusual. Like, for example, if you were going to your delinquent charges, things of that nature, your non-sufficient fund charges, to come in and get a plan check. All that takes staff time, and staff costs go up, and general administrative costs go up. And so the way they put this together is to say, if you really wanted to recapture all your costs for doing that, how much would it be? And that's what Prop 26 says, is you can only recover your costs. And that's what they did. And it did show that in some areas we were charging the right amounts, in other areas we were losing money every time we did that particular event.
And there were a couple we were charging too much.
There were a couple that, yes, we lowered them.
And this also entails for new business coming in, right? If somebody comes in.
Right. So if I want to open up a Dollar Tree, all the plan checking and all of that would be charged, all those fees would be charged directly to them. Mm-hmm. And any on-site inspection that we perform mm-hmm. would be charged mm-hmm. to them.
Yes.
And so one of our guys spent 8 hours there, they would be charged 8 hours for that time instead of coming out of the general fund.
So for one of the reasons just for this was we went to look for this was because like with if other businesses start to come with like Dollar General, their installation fee, we probably didn't, from our fee structure, we could have made more money off that, but we didn't have the fee study saying that for a commercial business, we need to have them buy into a bigger piece of the whole community for that. So as new business comes in, we need to redo these so that when new business comes in, we're charging them appropriately. And so now they can't come back and say, well, you guys haven't done a fee study in 12 years, 13 years?
I think it was over 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been over a decade since a fee study has been done on how much it costs to go out and do things for staff time. So for new business coming in, we want to make sure that we're charging them appropriately for their rates. For their fees, which isn't the water rates.
Right. Okay, I need a motion or
did we what were the caps that we put on it? I know we put a couple caps on it when we went over. There was a cap on a legal cap on reconnection.
Yes, number 10, it's on page 204 in the water cost of service. It's on page 20 of 27 of the report, I believe. It's a reconnection fee. You cannot charge more than $50 for a reconnection fee. per SB 998. So at that rate, during normal business hours, we're recovering 62% of our cost. So we're not getting the full 100%, and which is fine. That's, you know, we're governed by a statute on that. Reconnection during non-business hours, the cap is 150. We're recovering 34% on that. So those were the two caps.
Well, we wanted to put after hours too, right?
Yeah, after hours and non-business hours is 150.
It was like,
no, she's talking
what they came back with. Oh. Suggested was,
so it's also in the minutes because I wanted to, yeah. I wanted to keep it clear and concise. Appendix B, fee number 5. Last meeting, the board discussed that they wanted a ceiling charge of $300 per incident for after-hours emergency call-out fees. That's partially due to the fact that the union members that would be called out, they'd end up being paid a minimum of 3 hours overtime charge. So that was why the board set that ceiling to $300.
And it's currently, so it can't, is it 250 now?
No, it's in this report. It's now the 300.
Well,
but
what is it currently?
Oh, currently it's $250.
It's $250 a day. So I think there was an extravagant amount charged for after hours, and I think it was up to.
It was like 100
and. 400 and so, it was something.
It's like 150 an hour.
That's too bad because I know if somebody, you know, like if her water goes out, she's not going to pay $400, and you know, mm-hmm. you're going to go turn it off, and you cause more damage than good just to save that money. So we put a cap on it at 350 instead of
no 300 what they suggested, 300
or 300 sorry instead of the rate that they had suggested because it was astronomical.
Mm-hmm. And then the other item was fee number 15, return check fee.
And that one went down.
And it was more of an inquiry to legal because we weren't sure if we had to lower it to 25 or leave it at 30. Legal came back and said 30 was perfectly acceptable. So I believe in the report, it's still at 30. So that's not changing at all.
Because they wanted us to charge $61 per return. We've been on $2. And that's based on staff time. So this is it's Appendix B that we're looking at, right? So if you guys see the thing, you can see the new fees in Appendix B.
I have a question for the chair.
Go ahead.
Penalties for the water district. This is penalties that are charged for residents. Red tags, yellow tags, late fees.
That's this, item 11 on this.
Huh?
That's okay. Item 11 on Appendix B.
Uh-huh. We're charging almost $45,000 a year being made on penalties. If base water rate is $64.85, that is a telltale sign. Residents here cannot afford those penalties. They can't afford their base rate. We're making all of our money on penalties.
And then the rate has gone down. Wait, let's see here. It's about 50% of what it was.
Yeah, I got your budget.
Interest and penalties, though, are not changing on this report. Mm-hmm. So what they currently are now, they're remaining that way. We're not increasing interest and penalty charges, just so the board's aware.
And these fees were determined to be within legal ramifications by... Okay. Any other questions, comments, or anything?
I just want to see does someone have the line item for the 300 for the after hours? After hours, it still says 250 in B.
Reconnect, you mean the reconnect after hours or the...
Well, it's incident after normal business hour, so it says 250. So I just want to make sure that B is what we're doing, or C is what we're doing.
What's going on?
Come on, you guys give me a spreadsheet.
No, it's not. You might be looking. There's So there's two. It's going to be page 1 of 4.
In the appendices, or where are we looking?
Appendix B. So at the very back, there's a separate appendix, and it compares to other water agencies near us. And that one will have 5 pages, but you're going to want to look at the appendix B, which is just before, and there's 4 pages.
Mm-hmm. It'll be, you say line 4 was after hours?
It'll be line 5 after normal business hours, 3 hours minimum.
Okay, but line 18 in appendix B says that incident fees after normal business hours is still 250. So that's different than line 5?
That's an incident fee. So that's if somebody...
So incident fees aren't going up. They're staying the same as 250.
Correct.
After hours.
Correct.
And what's the difference between an incident and a damage fee?
So after normal business hours, that's for, like, for example, for most commonly a call out. So if somebody has a water meter that's leaking or a leak and they don't know where it is, they call the emergency line and our guys will tell them, you know, can you locate the meter box? We just had this happen the other day. Can you locate the meter box? I can go out there, but it's going to cost you this amount of money. So I can walk you through it if you'd like. Some people just say, no, just come. I just need you to come. But most of the time, like this weekend, it happened this weekend, and the guy spent 30 minutes on the phone. He was able to walk them through to find the meter box, to find the meter, and to be able to turn the valve. So a lot of times it's just a call out, a customer request to come out during the evening or the weekend. The incident fee, that's typically, well, what we've been seeing more often than not, and it doesn't happen very often, but the last several times that it has happened, that's when somebody hits a fire hydrant and takes off, and it's after business hours where our guys have to come out and repair it, and then that's tacked on. We figure out who did it because there was a witness or something, and then we end up billing them for all of that plus the man hours and everything else.
Okay, so one's like in home and the other one's somebody hit a fire hydrant.
Correct. So damage 5.
But who would be charged for that?
What was that?
Who's charged if somebody hits a fire hydrant?
Insurance company.
Typically, yeah, insurance.
So we're charging the insurance company $250?
For example, there
that's
was...
what we're paying, taking out of the budget for it.
For example, somebody hit... a fire hydrant over by the 76 gas station a while back, several months ago now, there was some video footage that it was a Penske truck. It was a hit and run, but we had this video footage, so we ended up contacting Penske. We had the license plate number and some additional information, and Penske ended up just paying it. So we recovered it.
Okay, we bumped that one up?
Yeah, why are they paying less?
Seriously, why are they paying less than our homeowners if they have a leak?
They had identification of the driver, and they had to turn that into a full month highway patrol.
No. That costs more than $2,000 if somebody hits a fire hydrant.
No, I think what she's getting at is the damage fee is, well, it says for 3 hours, recommended fee level is 300. Is the recommended fee, and then we adopt that, the recommendations, or did we scale that one back?
That one was more.
That one was about 450.
It was going to be $137 times 3, but the board wanted to limit it to a $300 charge total.
But that was incident damage, not property damage.
That was after hours. That was after hours business call out.
Right.
Line 5.
But no, I understand what she's saying is the damage way. Damage. So the guy in the back end, and we have to send a guy out there to shut the hydrant off.
Mm-hmm.
We're charging less for that.
He'd get charged both. He'd get charged the incident fee and this.
So he's getting dinged for $550.
If we know who did it. But if it's just some random person calling in, and it's hydrants leaking, then nobody's getting charged. The person calling in isn't getting charged that. You know.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm just confused on what I'm saying.
The incident fee is a customer call out. A damage fee is property damage.
Okay. So the incident fee then, so customer call additional charge. Is lower.
So the one, number five is more along the lines of labor, man hours. The incident fee is more along the lines of penalty.
Additional charge for them.
For a minimum 3 hours, that derives from the MOU. Because remember, a lot of our water operators are represented by a union, and they require any non-business hour, minimum 3 hours of time and a half or holiday time be paid, plus mileage from your home to the district.
No, absolutely. I know we're actually losing money on that, and that's what the fee study said, and I'd rather people get the right help than...
Are we getting anywhere on this?
Yeah, we're making sure that we're on the same page.
Okay, that's all that I care about.
Anybody have any other questions on the different fees?
No, we went over it pretty well last month.
I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Make the motion to approve.
I second the motion.
So I have a motion to approve the user fee study as presented, adopting the suggested fee adjustments as per the report made by Director Israel, second by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Next item is fire suppression system installation and meter charges. I have to step down because I have involvement in this, so Mrs. Israel, the chair is yours, temporarily.
That's why you took the gavel.
No, he took the gavel because he knew Carrie was coming.
Okay, so the fire suppression system, Ellie, do we have that?
So unless... Mr. Link, a member of the public, had a comment. This is something more that we've kind of hashed with legal and our accountants for many months now. Legal advised that the cleanest way to go, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, the cleanest way to go would be to lump this in with the rate study. Because if you start changing something now, it could affect the accounting down the line. Cindy, feel free to jump in anytime. But it's really up to the board. There are different ways, and they were brought up several times now, that the district could also go about it. The board could approve that we look at a customer, and if their usage is that of a typical 5/8 inch, a small meter, for example, and it shows that for a certain period of time, say 6 months, a year, the board could approve and say, okay, we're going to give you a lower rate. So you'd basically be paying that 5/8 inch amount, because the only reason you need this larger meter is solely for a fire suppression system, a fire sprinkler system. That's one option. The other option is to put it in with the water rate study. That's the cleanest way. And then you could also just say, nope, sorry, you have the larger meter. We're going to charge you for it. So there's a few options.
Maxine, can we move this item until after we talk about the fee study then? Down to 4?
I was just going to ask you guys if you guys wanted to add it to the fee study.
Well, I'd like to discuss it in the fee, like after the fee study. So if we have the discussion about the fee study, we can talk about it there.
Combine.
But if it doesn't pass, then we can talk about it afterwards, right? If we choose not to do that, we can address this afterwards, because we're all sick of seeing this one.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Because it's your fault.
Well, I don't see a public comment card, so I assume you have nothing to say.
Just to get an idea what this is about.
It's not bad.
You're not
on the board.
If I may, please address the public.
You can fill out a card.
Yeah, I don't have a card.
Yeah, you don't have a card filled out. 3 minutes.
New homes going in, the state has required that all new homes have a fire suppression, fire sprinkler system in it. And the problem with that is a lot of them require a larger meter, like a 1-inch meter. And what has happened is a 1-inch meter is like 4 times the cost of your day to day. And I don't feel that's...
It's $150. Versus
The point being is, for somebody that is required to put a system in that requires a name, hopefully it never gets used. But normally, most homes use a 5/8 size meter, and that much water is going to flow through. So what I'm proposing is they do a rate study and set it up so that if you have a fire suppression system or you want to say 1 inch or 1.25 inches or whatever, my system requires 1.25 inches. So the fee for 1.25 inches is considerably more.
It is $294 base rate.
$294 base rate, which is $64 for a 5/8 meter. Hello. And I'm only using 5/8 meter worth of water. So the point is, do the new construction need to be burdened and the new residents need to be burdened with such a large amount if they're still going to be using a small amount of water in their typical residence? You've got over here on you have two new residents. And is it right for people in a small parcel to be paying such a large amount for their water when they're still only using the same amount as the next door neighbor that has a house that's the same size and everything but only has a 5/8 meter? That's what this is all about. And trying to do it legally and within the law and properly, the discussion has gone ongoing. Because I have a water meter in this situation, I cannot be on the board discussing this, but it's still, it's important to me because of all the new people coming in. There's no reason for them to be hammered with, like my bill.
If we want growth in the community, and we're going to hit them with a $294 a month base rate, nobody's going to build here.
Precisely.
Nobody wants to build here.
This is the concern. That's why, and I believe that I like what you were saying about clean and just waiting till the next rate study to do it. We're not doing another rate study for another year.
That's up for discussion.
About accelerating the rate study 1 year.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to keep them separate so that he can vote on one and not the other, so he can step back instead of combining them.
Okay. Does it answer questions of what this is about?
But if you're getting the new house, why not? And they're not using that much water. And no fire, no nothing. So they just pay all that, and they've never had
for
any.
You're paying it to the wind.
As an example,
yeah,
okay. You know where the windmill is up there?
The wind.
Yeah. President.
Okay, that's where I'm
president.
Okay, my house burned down 6 years ago, and I put a new house in, and it has a fire suppression system. Right now, I have a waiver dismissing the district of any liability if something happens and my house burns because I don't have a big enough meter to fill my house. Okay? Because mine requires a little over an inch of fire flow based on the fire suppression system that the house was built with. So the idea is that there needs to be a uniform. Because I was the first one in the community, I'm like, wait a minute, this needs to change. But now there's been walking here for 4 or 5 houses built in the area, same issue. So it needs to be addressed so that everybody who's
do it.
We're taking a point of privilege. It is 7:12.
Right.